What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Super Garen Boys. I'm your host, Colonel and Dad, Garrett Morlang, and here in the virtual studio with me is the king of video games and elite game publisher, Adrian Holmes. What's up, Adrian?
That be me, good brother. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. We're here live. Made it through Monday.
Yeah.
So that's a good hang on. Let me. There we go.
Clap it up. There it is.
That's right. We have a soundboard. Hopefully the stream could hear that. I don't know if it's working or not, but oh man. How about you? Because you are back working now. Is you have like normal like Monday through Friday schedule or?
Yeah, it's normal Monday through Friday. So
that's nice.
I'm back to Mondays being Mondays, but this Monday wasn't necessarily the worst.
Okay.
It was busy, which means I got through it pretty quick. But you know, you've had those Mondays where it just seems like 5 o'clock or whatever your end of day won't come fast enough.
Yeah, right.
And thankfully, this Monday was not one of them. It was a Monday, so you know. You got to get back into the swing of things and kind of catch up on what people put off over the weekend, but wasn't that bad.
Cool.
How about yours?
Good to hear. I don't know. Work's just been really weird lately. Kind of been, I think we're going to probably talk about it on the Super Later Boys episode. It
sounds like something we're going to talk about.
I think we're going to talk about this on the Super Later Boys episode we're going to be recording this week. Just work stuff's been kind of shaky lately, you know, a little funky. So
I know all about work stuff being shaky.
But we're getting through it. It's going all right. It's just, yeah. We're busy. I'll put it at that for now.
Good.
If you want to hear more, though, I support us on Patreon, and you can hear more about that later. But cool. Well, let's see. Today, I guess we can get on with the show here. We have a lot to talk about, I think. I was kind of looking at the show notes real quick here, like, how much should I vamp at the beginning? I'm like, nah. I think it's time we get into it because we got some stuff here. We got some stuff. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about some predictions on the upcoming Switch 2, a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake release date, and Kojima gives insight into the development of OD. But first, let's give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, Bumple Smash and Kajoma01, and our Super Gamer sponsors, Julie Bates and Mama Mare. If you want to be awesome just like those folks, head over to patreon.com/supergamerboys where you can support us starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1 gets you episodes early and ad-free, such as this show and our Patreon exclusive show. You can only get it over there. Super Later Boys that we're going to be recording later this week. You're going to be able to get your episode this month. We already got one scheduled for next month. We're going to be recording that early. So you guys are going to be eating good. Patreon content goes here. So we'll talk more about our Patreon later on the show, though. I do want to give a huge shout out to Jack Sriracha, Yate, and who we're listening to this episode in the background is none other than DJ Trues. Thank you so much to DJ Trues for allowing us to use his music here on our show. We appreciate it very much. If you enjoy his music or Jack Sriracha and Yate, who we typically also have in the background as well, links to all of their stuff on Spotify and Apple Music will be in the show description below. So be sure to go check them out, show them some love and support. All right. It is now time to check the mail. But before we confer with Super Gamer Bob, before we go ahead and boot them up, we originally didn't have questions like when I wrote the show notes yesterday afternoon. And so I found something. Now we do have questions, but I was like, you know what? I'm still going to take the time and talk about this.
I'm nervous.
I don't know what this is going to be. You have nothing to be nervous about. Only, I don't know.
This might be the most absurd thing I'm getting ready to hear right now. Just go ahead and do it.
Okay. So in searching for news articles for the show, I was scouring various news sites. You know, I usually go through like GameSpot and IGN, various ones. A lot of times I just kind of will cycle through even Twitter to see what I can find on there. On IGN, there is a trending article that is not recent. It is from, I think, October, November, something like that. let me see, from October 14th, updated November 1st. And I just couldn't believe my eyes when I read the headline. And then I went and read the article, oh, and it's God. Even, and it's just as ridiculous. Before I build this up too much to the point of where I just start disappointing anyone, here's the headline for this article. And by the way, this was, never mind. I'll say what I'm about to say after. Okay. What I was going to say is there was nothing that came out associated with this property around that time that even warrants this article. So I'm not sure why this article even came out. How to watch The Lord of the Rings in chronological order.
What?
This came out from October/November. The Rings of Power came out like at the beginning of the year. That was like January, right? February? It was like the beginning. I forget exactly when.
Of last year, yeah.
Yeah. But this article, yeah. Oh, no. Okay, I'm wrong. Rings of Power came out September. But still,
a whole
month and a half after Rings of Power came out, IGN's like, oh, here, let me write up a sweet little guide so you know how to watch the Lord of the Rings in chronological order. And they literally listed out. Wait, I'm not done. Hang on.
So I need to pace.
There's subtitles within this article. How many Lord of the Rings movies are there? There are 6 total movies, and it lists them all out. And it explains where Ring of Power fits in. It's like, well, it makes sense for the article to let me finish. It would make sense for this article to be like, where does the Ring of Power fit into the Lord of the Rings?
That's an article. That makes sense.
No, this is, here's a list on how to watch them, starting with The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey.
Done.
The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
They just go from there.
The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. It goes on all the way through. And then they also have a list how to watch The Lord of the Rings by release date order in case you just can't figure out on your own. Oh, man.
Why did you bring this up?
I could not. My favorite thing, and I think it's the reason it's trending, is the comment section. The IGN comment section, usually not much is going on. There's like one random person who's like, oh, first, and they're the only person who commented. This comment section is blowing up. And it's people like, just
who
totally
wanted to leave work early and turned in this something to me, quote, this filler to meet quota so they could go home. This is the most holiday weekend, holiday season. Like, I'm getting ready to leave the office. I need to do something to make sure that it looks like I'm doing work before I leave article I've ever, ever heard.
I love all the comments too. Like, next up, how to watch Toy Story. Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4. And then, or like, next, how to watch Back to the Future in order. Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2.
There's like, no way. There's
isn't this
no-
wild? And I know no Mind shade. You- no shade towards the author, because I'm sure what probably happened is it was higher up at IGN, like an editor or whatever manager or something, who's a content manager who's like dishing out.
We need clicks.
Yeah, exactly. They're just dishing out things. So like, no shade to the author. I just want to be very clear. Like,
I know they're just doing their job.
Yeah, you're just
that.
Doing your job. It's whoever the person. Told it's them the person to? Who told you to do this. Who's like, all right, now
you're
like,
a maniac. There's better ways to get clicks.
Yeah,
your website gets previews from game publishers and developers around the world. You've been in business 20-something years. This is ridiculous. What are we doing?
So, yeah.
You
so
are too big and too established to be putting out articles like this, IGN. What's going on?
Yep. So, if you're curious, go ahead and go over to IGN, type in how to watch Lord of the Rings in chronological order, and they will give
Don't
you...
Don't do that. Don't give this clicks.
Give it clicks.
No.
Leave a comment down below. Keep this article trending. That's all I want. I just want this article to continue trending for the foreseeable future.
Insane.
to think because it's because it shows up in the top five slot. So like a lot of times I go to that top five slot because I'm like, oh, I want to know like what's the big news from the past week that I need to be talking about in the show. And the fact that a slot was wasted on this is
there
bonkers.
Was literally nothing else to talk about. There had to be nothing.
Oh my gosh. Yep. So there we go. That's all I had. That was what I sent into the mailbag. I postmarked my own address on a letter, sent it through the mail, and it showed up here at Super Gamer Boy Studios.
I'm glad you didn't have Gamer Bob read that.
Yeah.
They probably would have quit.
Are you kidding me? You kidding me right now?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. All right. With that, I think it's about time we booted up Super Gamer Bot. So without further ado.
Please, I'm ready for real questions.
Let's boot him up.
What order do you watch the Lord of the Rings in? I don't know the order it was written.
Oh, man. All right. We got Super Gamer Boy. Sorry, not Super Gamer Boy. Super Gamer Bot loaded up here. And I think something's supposed to be happening that I did not prepare ahead of time because I made a mistake. So give me 2 seconds.
Uh-oh. We got a firmware update.
We got issues over here, but we're all right. We're all right. No one panic. There's nothing to panic about. Super Gamer Bot's just, you know, having.
How do you supposed to recover after that? Like,
just. Hang on, I gotta.
I'm trying to forget it ever happened, but it's like one of the.
Let me wiggle this cable a little bit. What's going on? Come on, hang on. I'm gonna restart Super Gamer Bot. There's a little issue there.
Like, there's just some executive that's just like, I'm trying to think. What do we write about? Lord of the Rings? Yeah, what about it? Why don't you tell people how to watch Lord of the Rings? They're like, sir, they're already in order. They were written in order. They were filmed. Yeah, I know, but it's Lord of the Rings. It'll get clicks. Do it.
All right. Super Gamer Bot's all booted up. Let's see what they have to say here.
Yo, fellas. I'm back from break. How was your guys' holidays?
Ooh, our holiday was fantastic, Super Gamer Bot. Thanks for asking. Do you mind hitting us with that first question here?
Sir Prince Salad asks, how exactly step-by-step do you think shirts are printed?
Okay, so he wants to know this is like a test, because I think we've called him out enough times on the show saying, dude, just print us up some shirts. Like, what's the deal? What's going on? I think now he's like, all right, tell me, how do you make a t-shirt? And the answer is easy. You just buy a t-shirt printer, just like your printer that you have in your office that you put paper in. You just buy one that you put t-shirts in.
And then you do a little beep, beep, boop, beep, bleep, bleep, boop. And then you put the shirt down on the machine.
Yeah.
And then it
You put it in the top. You put it like I said, it's like a printer. Like where you normally put the paper in, you tuck the sleeves of the t-shirt in and it sucks it in.
Well, before you do that, you got to flatten it, right? You got to flatten That's it true. For the machine. So, you know those machines that have like the two little metal rollers?
So you got to like.
It does like this with the handle on the side.
Right.
So you got to put the shirt in there. Then you got to roll it like this. Okay.
This is great for the audio people listening to this.
That's why I'm giving them the visual. Okay. I'm saying the machine with the two little rollers.
Yeah.
And you put the shirt in between them, and then you turn the crank so it flattens the shirt as it goes through the little metal rollers. Then once the shirt's flat,
you got to starch it.
Then you, huh?
You got to starch it then so it stays flat and nice and stiff.
Right. Then you do the bleep loop on the machine, right? Mm-hmm. Then you put the flat shirt on the machine. The machine comes with the paint on it, and it goes like a griddle, like a panini press. And then once it comes up, it's on there. That's it.
Okay. That's a little different than I was envisioning, but I like that. I was thinking more like an app, because that sounds very professional, in my opinion. That sounds like something probably Sir Prince Slot uses every day in work. But I'm thinking like home printer setup. Like you just shove it. I think you can just. I even think my printer that I print my son's coloring pages on has a t-shirt setting. I could probably just shove a t-shirt in there and psh, opening Bling Blang Bloom, and then I got a t-shirt. So
done deal. And it comes out just like a printer too. That's
exactly, and it makes the sound. Yeah. and honestly, it's probably just as good quality of anything Sir Prince Lock could do. So
I don't know why he felt like he had to try to test us on this. Like, right.
we know all the methods
of printing shirts.
Right. I'm an expert at the at-home method. You got that professional method down. Like, we know exactly how t-shirts
are made. It's pretty 1+1 here. I don't.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? Because of that, he owes us some shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at the very least, an explanation of how shirts are, or an explanation of how shirts are printed, you know?
That we already told him. We told him how to do his job.
Let's see here. I saw Silfarian in the chat says, as someone who works in IT, this sounds like a to support. Yeah, I mean,
no way,
you think paper jams? You think paper jams are a pain? I just imagine
t-shirt
jam. If it goes through, it's nice and smooth. But if not, boy, you throw the old printer away. You just got to start over at that point. Sorry, dude. New printer for you. Oh man. All right. I guess we can move on to this next question. Thank you, Sir Brent Slot, for that. Let's move on to this next one. Super Gamer Bob.
Brandon asks, what are some hidden gems or guilty pleasures that not enough people talk about?
All right. Crimson wants to know some either hidden gems or guilty pleasure games that not enough people talk about. I'm just going to come out right here and say it. This is more of a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we haven't talked about this before, but I think that's the thing. Like, we're the only ones in a couple other like streamers that I know who actually even ever talk about this game. And that's Amori. Amori is 100% a hidden gem.
Ooh.
That not enough people talk about, not enough people play. And I love it so much. I mean, I even bought like the walkthrough art book that they sold. Like, dude, that game. I got the hoodie. Like, I love that game. I was in that game. That story like so impacted me. It was so good. Also, what's
you're
up, Trouser Schnauzer? Just rated us. We're playing his music right now. So he's the one. If you're watching over on Twitch, go ahead and follow old Trouser Schnauzer there. He's the one.
24-hour stream Iron Man.
Yeah.
Here in the chat.
Madman over there. Thanks for that raid. So yeah, what about you? Do you have any hidden gems or guilty pleasure games that you think don't get enough time in the spotlight?
One that I always think of that I feel like never got its fair due is Supergiant Games' Pyre. I feel like everybody always talks about Bastion because it was the first one out. It was like at the forefront when indie games or smaller games were getting ready to pop off. Everybody's crazy about Hades because that's finally like the first one that took off and was mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And Transistor also did very well. That's my favorite of the four still to this day. But people don't really give Pyre the time of day because it is the most different out of the four. It's a sports game mixed in with kind of like a, I don't want to say D&D because you do make choices and the choices do change the flow of the game. I guess you could say that more like a story RPG in a sense. And it's those two mashed together and the writing is really, really good. I mean, I feel like I'm probably a lot very biased because I always say that Supergiant is my favorite studio, you know, my favorite independent studio, one of my favorite studios, period. But I really wish that game had gotten the same recognition and the same eyes, number of eyes on it that the other three did.
Hmm. Well, Pyre, and forgive me if you've already said it, maybe I missed it, but it only came out on PlayStation, didn't it? Or at least initially?
It came out on PC too.
Did it? Okay. So it was PlayStation and PC. But
it never came out on any other consoles. I just wonder for it to come out on Switch. I don't know what the holdup is. And it's been out for like 5-6 years at this point.
2017.
So whatever,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever exclusivity agreement that they must have had with Sony has to be up by now. Unless Sony funded development.
Let's say.
But I don't think they did.
Yeah, because I mean, the fact that it even came out on PC as well is interesting.
Right.
But
I'm just wondering, did it maybe not sell enough to warrant them, you know, putting forth the effort to bring it elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, that would be...
Because I really think with how hot Hades is right now, if you put this out...
Supergiant in general, like, they've just kind of been very much beloved for a while in the indie space, so...
Yeah. Number one fan right here. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Crazy. Yeah, those are a couple of good picks. Go play Omori and
you don't even remember what it's called.
Can't even remember. No, I'm sorry.
That's how hidden it is.
Pyre and Omori. Those are a couple good picks, and ones that even for the budget conscious people, I think usually those ones are on sale. So go check them out.
$20 or less.
All right, we got this last question from Kajoma01, our Patreon producer. Do with this what you will.
Let's go.
Kajoma asks, what inanimate object do you think would be the hardest to fight if it came to life?
So inanimate object comes to life, and you got to fight it. What would be the hardest one to fight, I guess, is what he's saying.
I already know what it is. I'll let you go first, though.
I don't know if... So I'm just going to say, he kind of gives an answer. So I'm going to give his answer real quick. He says, I feel like fighting an animate airplane would be a tough time, which I'm like, all right, yeah.
Like a full-size plane?
Like a full-size airplane, yeah.
Yeah, that weighs... dozens of tons? Yes. That would be hard to fight.
That would be difficult. You are correct in that. Also, I think Sir Prince-a-Lot answered this, and he said, I liked his answer. He says, 1 billion toenail clippers, the big ones. Kajoma just says the stuff of nightmares right there. By the way, if you want to join in on this fun conversation, join us over on our Discord server for free, supergamerboys.com/Discord. And you can join in on the conversation of 1 billion toenail clippers, whether that would be horrible to fight or not.
Just stretch you to the bone.
I love how he specifies the big ones, so not the little dinky toenail clippers, like the big honking ones.
Like for those hard toenails, the ones that when you hear it, it's a crunchy, crunchy clip.
It's a right. Oh man. So my answer, I feel like I don't know. It's not a silly one. It's more serious. I took it very serious. I'm a very literal person. I think it'd be extremely hard to fight. Like, the first thing that popped in my head was growing up in the kitchen, my mom had this special paring knife, or like a peeling knife. It was very small and short and very sharp. And I was
exactly
like,
what you're talking about.
That would be extremely hard to fight back because it's so small and agile and nimble and very sharp. It would just like cut you to shreds. And what are you going to do? Like, unless you had some sort of body armor, you could barely even see the thing. It's so tiny. So it's just flying around like this blur. It'd be terrifying. Like, that would be just horrific. So that's the first thing that popped in my head. Now, if we want to get silly, I think just a freaking, like, a tree. Like a giant tree. Like, I think, like, Lord of the Rings. Like the Ents.
Like an Ent?
That would be also extremely hard to fight. That would be very, very hard to fight, I think. Like a tree.
Like a Whomping Willow or something
The tree in our front yard. If it just like came to life, I was like, yeah, we're dead. We're probably dead. What about you, though? What do you think?
Mine is pretty easy. It's a 1x1 Lego brick.
Oh, dude. What?
So, you know how, like, when you step on a Lego, it's like immediately you hop up. Imagine trying to fight a one-on-one, like a 1x1 Lego brick, and it just knows exactly where you're gonna step, so you're gonna step on it every time, so you can't move.
Every time you try to get out of the way, you keep just stepping on it again, like, right. Ow, ooh, God,
you're done. You can't fight. Man. It's got you. It's gonna win every time.
Or what if, like, a rope came to life and it just, like, strangle you? and nothing you can do about it.
That got a little deep. That got a little dark there.
Is that too dark?
No.
All right, there. Back it up. All right, yeah. Lego breaks. Oh, that's silly.
No, that's a real life fight you just said that some people go through right there. Good grief.
Jesus.
Whoa.
Oh, no. All right. Yeah, this one got a little too real, huh?
Back to the Lego brick.
Back to the Lego bricks, huh? What about those 2x2s? Those really suck too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Those are double trouble right there.
Oh, no. Oh, shoot. Darn it. Got too real there. I'm sorry, everyone.
Man.
All right, maybe it's time we move on that one. Thank you all so much.
Super Gamer Boys here, we say you matter. Don't do it, please.
Yes, that is the truth. That's not something to joke about. That is very much the truth. All right, thank you all so much for writing in to the mailbag, I guess. A lot of weird questions this week. Man. Thanks to Crimson. Appreciate ya. The other two, you're great too. In your own special way. I appreciate you guys.
Don't forget, Prince, you owe us shirts.
You owe us shirts now. We shook on it virtually. Mm-hmm. All right. It's now time for the Nerdy Nudes.
It's now time for the Nerdy Nudes.
Beautiful. Oh, no. Blue Crimson in the chat says, I'll make sure my next question is a weirder one. I don't like that. Don't like that one bit. All right. Let me bring up these news stories for you folks. Haha, it works. All right. This first news story comes to us from IGN. And
it better not be what I'm thinking it is.
It's just jokes on you. We're going to talk about the Lord of the Rings in chronological order.
I will get up and turn this Discord call off. Try me.
No. We got a real article here for you. All right. This first news story comes from Kat Bailey over at IGN. Switch 2 predicted to arrive in 2024 with a $400 price point. The Nintendo Switch 2 seems likely to release this year, but when? And for how much? These are some of the questions on the minds of Nintendo fans as 2024 gets underway. If industry analysts are to be believed, the Switch successor should be out later this year with a price point of $400. Offering his predictions to GamesIndustry.biz for 2024, Dr. Serkan Toto, a Kantan games analyst noted for being a Nintendo expert, said he believes that the Switch 2 will be out in 2024. He also affirmed the persistent but unconfirmed rumors that a Switch Pro was indeed in development at one point. The time is finally here for a Switch successor, even though I can say a Pro model actually did exist and certain developers were already working with the dev kit, Toto wrote. I believe the next hardware will drop next year for $400. There's a high chance that games will cost more too, $70. The next system is also likely to be an iteration rather than a revolution. Nintendo might add some bells and whistles to the device, but it will be similar to the current Switch, and because there is Pokemon, and Pokemon is associated with handheld gaming, there's no way on earth Nintendo will drop the portability feature for their next big thing. Or, hear me out, they just have a console and a handheld console, two separate devices.
They're not going back to that.
All right.
This is too lucrative.
I guess so. Ampere analysis analyst. Say that six times fast. Ampere analysis analyst. I'm sorry. Piers Harding Rules also weighed in on this prediction, saying that he expects the console market to be up marginally, aided by the launch of a next-gen Nintendo console, more than likely a Switch 2 towards the end of the year. Toto and Harding's roles predictions lend further weight to the persistent belief that the follow-up to the seven-year-old Nintendo Switch, it's crazy, it's been around 7 years already. It's impressive. The Switch 2 is near. The Switch 2 has been heavily rumored since 2023 when a demo meant to reflect the platform's expected hardware capabilities was reportedly shown to developers at Gamescom. That's the one that Nintendo denied even existed, even though developers saw it with their own eyes.
Because they think we're so dumb.
Little is known about the device. Nintendo has persistently denied rumors of its existence, but there's been consistent chatter about the DLSS capabilities and more. So this kind of goes in the face of what we talked about even on a previous episode with like the whole having two screens thing. Remember, there was like that patent they filed that, and then there was rumors like, oh, maybe this is connected. Most likely
we couldn't figure out how it would work because it would be like $800.
Okay, this article is going to say, if the Switch 2 is indeed iteration rather than a revolution, it will seemingly be closer to the Nintendo 3DS, which built on the success of the DS. Oh, okay. I thought they were going to say that it actually had two screens, but what they're saying is from the DS to the 3DS, really the only difference was hardware and the 3D screen. So that's the type of iterations we might see with the Switch, is like a lot of the same features just improved and then maybe one little gimmick thrown in. You know, maybe we get the 3D Switch.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's not impossible or it's not possible. So
that would be horrible. Does all of the processing power that they put into
goes
it just
to making it 3D
goes just into making it 3D. They're like, wow, there's enough, you know, teraflops of power in this to run Red Dead Redemption 2. But
Miyamoto bust through the wall. Put 3D in it.
Put 3D in. All right, now it can barely run Pokemon Violet in 3D.
We're back to square one.
Back to where we were before. Shoot. Yeah, so Adrian, these are all kind of things we had assumptions already, pretty solid kind of leads that kind of made us think, all right, yeah, Switch 2 is coming out this year. But with some of the other information, what are your thoughts on this? With the price point of the system, the price point of the games, some of the features, as far as it being an iteration, how does this make you feel, Adrian?
I mean, this is right in line with what we thought was going to be for the Switch before. I wish we could have figured out a way to get the OLED in there, because the rumor is that it's going to be different with the LCD screen. However, somebody made a good point in a video I watched the other day. LCD tech has gotten a lot better in 7 years than the original Switches has. And if you can somehow make it the same size as the OLED panel and make it 1080, we might be able to talk a little bit.
That's true. If it's the same size, but a higher resolution or something like that, yeah, the colors won't pop or be as vibrant, but just having that crisp, clean 1080 on such a small screen.
So that might be a trade-off that I would be willing to make if it's 1080.
Yeah.
The one thing, I honestly didn't care how much it was going to cost. It could be four, it could be five, I'm getting it. That just goes without saying.
I guess for that price point, I just hope it really does have a little more power then. Because at that point where we are encroaching on PlayStation, Xbox territory, and if it doesn't have at least close power, then it'd have to be exact.
I'm thinking it's going to be Steam Deck level.
Okay. I mean, that's great too. Steam Deck is great.
That's what I'm thinking. The one thing that I am so worried about, that Nintendo for the last forever, they haven't been the specs guys and all that jazz, and that's fine. Clearly you've done fine without it. I need this console to have a lot of RAM, dude. That's the biggest bottleneck that developers have had in porting their games over, is Switch only had 4 gigabytes of RAM, and like a gig and a half was used. Yeah, it was used by the OS. So you had 2.5 gigabytes of RAM to work with.
Most games nowadays, the minimum is 8 gig, and the recommended is 16. So the fact that this,
I was gonna say, they need to have this new Switch with 16 gigs of RAM, dude. Yeah. There's no other way. If you want this system to last another 6 or 7 years in the current console market, it needs to have, I don't care, it could be 720p 1080 dock just like it was before, with a beefier chip that lets stuff run at, you know, 60 frames or let it run at ultra settings, that's fine. But you need to have that large amount of RAM in there so that when developers have to, you know, port their game and downscale it, they can still fit it on Switch. If anything, if I'm Nintendo and I see this whole Baldur's Gate debacle go down with Xbox, and because the Series S didn't have a whole lot of RAM in it, that's making me rethink, hold on, we need to make sure that we have enough RAM in this system so that people can port their games over one-to-one, so they don't feel like they're losing anything. Even if they only run at 720, it's still the full fat game.
Yeah.
You know? So that's my biggest worry, is I feel like they're going to do 8, or they're going to do, you know, 10 or something like that, which, like we said, you can squeeze it if need be, but to really future-proof this console, I really, really hope that they go with 16. I would have paid more if it would have cost them more to get 16 in that console.
Right.
So, I don't know. Everything else I could care less about, I would love a fluid 1080 60, you know, for every game docked, or 720p 60 for every game handheld. I'm sure that's going to come with the territory. Like I said, I expected this to be on the caliber of, if not maybe a little bit above, just because of the advancement in chips recently of a Steam Deck. Anything more than that, icing on the cake. But yes, we need to make sure that, you know, developers are able to bring these games over one-to-one and do it easily, or else nobody's going to do it.
I mean, it would be nice just to be able to run Pokemon Scarlet and Violet smoothly as well. A game from the Nintendo Switch. That would be great if that just ran smooth as butter.
I would love to see. I would replay. Like, I wouldn't replay it anyway. I would start from scratch, replay Tears of the Kingdom if it ran at a solid 720 60, 1080 60 dot.
Yeah.
That'd be a totally different game.
Yeah.
With that new frame rate.
Blue Crimson in the chat says, Nintendo be like, best I can do is 8 gig and a third theme color.
Crimson, don't do this to me, bro. I'll be so hurt if they come out there and they say, oh, we got 8 gigabytes of RAM now. It's, you know what it is, though? It's like Nintendo is only thinking about what Nintendo would need and not what everybody would need, right? They are wizards at squeezing the most out of their own hardware because they made
right. it. Right, yeah. Yeah, it really is interesting. Like, they build their hardware around what they think they need
for their games.
For their games. And it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, your games run great on there, and people are going to buy your console for your games. But think of how much money you could make, how much more money you could make if you also made games, other games run on there, and you could make money off of those being on your eShop and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Right. I mean, obviously they're not hurting for money. So whatever they're doing, that's why they don't care, because they're like, we're rolling in it over here and we're still just making games that like only our games are good on it. Other people game like who do figure out a port to it is mediocre, but people are just willing to deal with it. Cause it's just like, oh, whatever. It's cheap. And we'll buy three of them for the house, one for each kid and one for me or whatever. And I don't know. It's wild. But yeah, I don't know. As long as they just keep making money that way, unfortunately, it probably isn't going to change.
It's probably, much, but I mean, realistically, it's probably going to be 8, and I'm going to be sad about it. I would love it if you know what? You could even eke by with 12. Because 12, you know, they're going to take 2 for the OS and it leaves you with 10. That's workable.
If you that's need like such something. A weird number, though, because in general, RAM, most RAM chips goes in 4. So,
well, but, that's 12 is a 4.
No, but it goes like 4, then 8, then 16. Like it doubles kind of thing.
We're talking about Nintendo, though.
No, totally. And I'm not saying like odd number RAM chips don't exist. Like, I know they exist, and that's the thing. Nintendo's gonna be like, yeah, it's like 13 and a half gig.
No, don't say that.
There's gonna be some weird out like number. It's like, yeah, we just found some spare parts in the warehouse and threw whatever families kind of threw it in there.
We found this old this old compact computer had some RAM in it. We just decided to put it in the Switch.
It fit. Yeah. Can't complain.
Oh, I don't know, man. I just feel like if Valve is able to do it and they're able to sell that unit for $400 and it has 16 gigs of RAM, what's stopping you?
The lack of necessity.
Yeah.
There's no need. Look. The thing, okay, but Adrian, people have been complaining about the power of the Switch for like 5 years now. The console's been out for 7. People have been complaining for 5. And you know what? Those people keep buying the Nintendo Switch anyways. So I don't, that's the thing. It's like Nintendo, people don't vote with their wallets. We talk about this all the time. There was something else that we were talking about. That was with Activision Blizzard stuff. But like so many times it's like, if you don't like something, vote with your wallet. And people like, yeah, but then I can't play the game. It's like,
and that's where that's they
the
got
point.
Us, though.
That's the right. point. Then don't play
but,
it.
But like, Garrett, but show Garrett, them. We're not talking about Activision though. That's how good these games are.
Yeah.
Think about missing out on Tears of the Kingdom. I would try my darndest to play Tears of the Kingdom even if it was 15 frames a second. Because we know how good that game is.
Yeah. There are ways.
Are you advocating for something right now? Is that what's going on? These games are still available for purchase.
Never mind.
Thank you.
Moving on. It was more thinking about Pokemon runs so poorly on the Switch. I wonder how it would run on other consoles. That's all I was curious about.
I understand your sentiment. I do.
But I wonder, does it actually run?
Cease and desist.
Does it actually run better, or is it more of a systemic issue within the game code itself? It doesn't matter what it runs on. It's just going to run like trash.
It's Game Freak because all three Xenoblades are on there and they look fantastic.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
It's Game Freak. They don't know what they're doing and they don't have enough time to do it and they need help and they're too prideful to say they need help.
Yeah.
There was some article about that where they were like, I guess the team doesn't ask for help or they don't want help because they think they can do it on their own. And it's like a pride thing. And it's like, well, dog, does it feel good, you know, getting dunked on by everybody else on Earth because your game runs so bad? I know you're selling it, but do you as an artist, as a developer, as a game creator, do you feel good about what you put out?
What's wild to me, and I know this is totally spun off into just a Pokemon discussion when this article had nothing to do with Pokemon. But I think what blows my mind is like, they've released a couple pieces of DLC now and still haven't fixed the game. Still haven't fixed the game. And yeah, it's worse. So it's like, not only are they just ignoring the problem, but they're compounding the problem. It's like, what are you doing? Like, fix first things first. Blue Crimson in the chat does say, Adrian has a point. As much as I hate Scarlet and Violet's performance, I still bought it and played that $60 PowerPoint presentation. Oh, same here. I bought it too and didn't finish it. Because I was just like, it was frustrating at times, but it's a thing. They got us where right by the nads and there's nothing we can do about it.
They make stuff too good, dude. It would be different if the game sucked, but they don't.
Yeah. They may not look great, but everything else about it is so great. It's like makes up there. It's easy to like, oh, it's fine. It's kind of like in your brain, just like ignore this glaring issues. It's like, it's okay. It's fine.
It's good.
Meanwhile, these red flags, just red flag. And you're just like, nah, it's fine.
No, I didn't see that lag spike. Don't worry. What?
I didn't see anything.
Ow.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get on with this next news story. This news story comes to us from IGN, written by Ryan Dinsdale. Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake 2024 release window seemingly confirmed in PlayStation trailer. Silent Hill 2 Remake isn't the only Konami game to be showcased. PlayStation has listed the Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake, officially Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, as a 2024 game. A trailer advertising various PlayStation 5 games coming in 2024 includes lots of entries and established release dates. With established release dates like The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, but also quietly listed the release window for the highly anticipated remake. Publisher Konami has yet to confirm any sort of release date or window itself, though given it was announced by PlayStation in 2023 and is coming to the PS5, it likely knows its stuff. IGN has reached out to Konami for comment. Not stopping there, the PlayStation trailer also listed the Silent Hill 2 remake as a 2024 release, seemingly dropping two major release windows in the space of 2 minutes. Announced in May 2023 after a series of rumors, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater promises to be a faithful retelling of the original game and will implement the original voice acting that featured David Hayter. The exact voice acting situation is unclear, though, as Konami reportedly isn't recording new dialogue for the game. The publisher has also had to explain why there's a strange symbol in its name and that it's not just coming to PlayStation 5, but also Xbox Series and PC. They dropped the release date, release windows at least, for both Metal Gear Solid 3 or Metal Gear Solid Delta and Silent Hill 2 Remake.
What you thinking? Where's your head at?
Coming in 2024. And I just don't know how to feel about this, to be completely honest, Adrian, because when they first kind of announced these projects, both of them, they both very much are like, oh, okay, this, like, from the very little trailer we got, it was like, or even just images, it's like, all right, this is like 2025 or beyond. Like, this is going to take a couple years. Like, this is very early development. So on one hand, it just seems kind of wild for them to be saying like, yeah, 2024, we're coming for you, Silent Hill and Metal Gear. Coming out. I would love that to be true. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think that would be freaking amazing to get both Silent Hill 2 remake and Metal Gear Solid Delta. That would just blow my mind. Like, last year was an incredible game, like, year in gaming. That would immediately, like, push this up in the ranks for me. Even though, like, Metal Gear Solid 3 isn't one of my favorites, I think playing it just in a new way would be really fun and exciting. And honestly, Silent Hill 2 is I have not played, and I've always wanted to. And it's one of those things where, like, I want to get into this series. I don't really want to play the PlayStation 1 version of the game. I would love to just play a new version of the game, kind of thing. So, man, that would be amazing. But I think my final kind of thoughts on it are I don't believe it. I don't think it's coming out this year. I don't know where Sony got that date. Maybe that was the original tentative date, like on the back end of, you know, Konami, the whatever their shared Google Drive that they have between the two companies, you know, because that's what they use. They use Google Drive, of course.
Yes, of course.
Maybe that was a date they talked about at one point, 2024, but man, I don't know. I mean, we saw like that when they released the footage from the Unreal 5 footage of Metal Gear Solid Delta there, was it November? It was like, I think it even said like pre-alpha or something like that, or alpha. It's like, oh, okay, they're not even in a beta stage, they're not even beta testing. Like, for all we know, that's literally like that's all they have is like that one little slice. There's a lot more to a game than just that. You know, they're still figuring out how the animations are going to look in the game.
Right.
So I don't know.
I would be willing to give you that Silent Hill might come out at the end of the year, just because we've known about that longer. It's been in development longer.
Barely.
I was going to say it'll barely make the end of this year. It'll be just in time for holidays. That's the only thing that makes sense. There is no shot Metal Gear Delta comes out this year. No way.
Unless Konami's been working on it a lot longer than they let on. But again, the fact that they just released that pre-alpha footage a couple months ago, it's like,
right,
doesn't pre-alpha? Seem like that. I think that's what it was. I'd have to look up the trailer specifically.
But that's what I'm saying. If they're still in pre-alpha, that means that that's what they were willing to show. So they might be in alpha now.
Yeah, exactly. Let me double check that.
There's no freaking way this game comes out in 2024. Mid-2025, even late 2025, I could see it. That game is too big. If you're starting from scratch, that game is too big and too expansive. There's too many cutscenes, too many environments, things like that for you. Unless they have some gigantic team working on it, which Konami doesn't have money like that anymore. That's why they're doing pachinko machines.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
So yeah, that footage
I'll give you one. The other one is not happening.
Yeah, that footage was pre-alpha. It does say that in a corner, pre-alpha footage. So it's like,
there you go.
Yeah.
Unless there was pre-alpha footage from like 2 years ago and they've been working on it for 2 years quietly.
Already. Yeah. And that's what I was kind of alluding to when I said like, maybe they've been working on it longer than we thought. Cause they very much could have been like, oh, they actually are almost done with the game, but they're just like drip feeding us information, like old info that they had, like, oh, hey, we put this video together like 2 years ago and we're just now going to drop it or something like that. So that very well could be the case as well. Cause I mean, Unreal 5, we've known about for a couple years now. Like Unreal 5 came out. When was that Matrix demo? That was about 2 years ago.
That was a while ago, yeah.
Like that was like 2020 or 2021. So, I just don't want to get my hopes up and be heartbroken. That's all.
I was going to say, I wouldn't if I were you. How do you feel about, side note, how do you feel about them releasing the remakes in chronological order instead of release order now?
Like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I like the Lord of the Rings. Yes.
It's fine. I mean, I hope
that's for new players.
Yeah, I hope that's what they continue to do. I hope it doesn't turn into, oh, here's Delta, and then here's like another random one, here's another. Like, I hope they do continue with to not only make remakes, because that's the other thing. It's like, depending on how good or bad this sells, with their unrealistic standards, they may or may not even make a next one. So my hope
it's
is
Metal
like
Gear, it's gonna move.
Yeah, but Konami likes to Konami, you know. So fair. I really hope they continue to make remakes, and if they do, I'm fine with the chronological order thing. I just hope after this, they either
would be one next.
If they're going according to mainline numbered games, then yes, which I'd be stoked for. I'd be curious though if they would go to Peace Walker next, only because Peace Walker has showed up in like the HD collections and stuff. Like in their mind, it's even though it's not numbered, it is like an important part of the series enough for them to remaster and put on like consoles and stuff. They didn't do that.
That's true.
They haven't done that with other Metal Gear games like Acid or Portable Ops. Granted, those are known to be kind of like not quite canon, but still. So that's my thought. I wonder if they'll do that, and I wonder if they'll just do like an unlocked high res version of like Metal Gear Solid 5 or something like that. Like a not a full remake, but like a remaster. Like
yeah, five doesn't need a remake.
Yeah, I could see them doing like this, going to Peace Walker, doing a 5 remaster where it just unlocks a frame rate for PS4 consoles, and then 4K, and then going to 1. I hope they go to 1 next. Don't get me wrong, that's my favorite one. I would love to see Metal Gear Solid 1 next, but
if they do
stick with the chronological order thing, there has been a lot of importance just put on both of those, both Peace Walker and 5. Like they've both showed up in other collections, so it's like, all right, they have some meaning. I would be surprised if they didn't show up, but who knows?
I mean, Peace Walker also makes sense. I forget which documentary I was watching about the Metal Gear series, but apparently Peace Walker started out as like a numbered game.
I think I've heard that as well.
Kojima changed his mind.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to use it for something else. But like it was going to be a Metal Gear, I want to say like 4 or 5 at the time. And it was going to be on PSP as like a numbered Metal Gear game.
Right.
That's how close it got. So it makes sense that if they were to do Peace Walker next, I'd be like, okay, makes sense.
I wonder if
I know that wouldn't be the best for you because you're not a big Boss fan, but maybe this changes after Delta. Who knows?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, we'll see how Delta is, because I just wasn't a fan of, his character is different, you know, than Solid Snake. But also, like, gameplay wise, like, 3 was just still stealth focus, which I enjoyed, but it was more open. It was so open. It was like granted Metal Gear Solid 4 was also very open, but I think there's just the familiar characters that I really like. Like I love Snake, I love Otacon, I love like those set of characters. So it's like, all right, that game was awesome. And 4 is mostly a movie, which I love. It's just like sit back and just enjoy the ride. So I hope 3 or Delta does it for me. But I think with Peace Walker 2, I wonder if it ends up being a remake similar to Delta, they kind of rework some of the like how the game even plays. I know with Delta, they're trying to stay true to it, but I wonder if with Peace Walker, like, all right, this was a handheld game made for the PSP. So it has very much like handheld kind of tropey missions and things like designed to be like to draw out something you play on the go, stuff like that. I wonder if it would be a remake coming to consoles, if they would almost change the gameplay a little bit, or like shorten things up, or tighten up the ship a little bit so it just fits a little better on console.
I would imagine the easiest way would be to liken it to 5, because it's the it's the blueprint for 5. So
that's true. Yeah,
why not kind just of make it play like 5?
Yeah. I could see that. I guess I hope they would just tighten it up a little bit. I've not played Peace Walker, but everything I've heard is like there's times where it just like gets grindy.
I mean it's meant to for you to chip away at on your commute to work on the bus.
Yeah.
So
Which is, again, that's something that I kind of gotten frustrated with 5. 5 was also grindy, and that was on the console as well. It's like, what's the deal? Like, that drove me nuts. I'm like, I just want more story. Why are you making me go find these stupid guys who are wandering in the wilderness? I was
going to tell you, you should just watch the YouTube compilations of the movie
that's,
of it.
That's the thing. I know the story, a lot of the story. I've watched a lot of it. Don't get me wrong. I have most of 5 spoiled for me. But I still would like to just experience it through the gameplay as well, because that's such a big part of the series that I've always loved, is the gameplay of Metal Gear, at least the core of the first 4. And so with 5,
that's why I love 4, dude. They don't hardly give it to you because you already had it in the other 3. We're old and tired now. Yeah. Let me just sit back and tell me this. Yeah. Oh, 4 is so good.
But the times you do play, you're still getting it. Like, you are still getting some stealth, but you're also just like, hey, just kick back and relax now. Like, you've played a lot. Like,
you're playing a lot of games. You're an old man now. We're good. We're chilling, okay?
Yeah.
If I got to go out there, I got to go out there. Let me take my pain pills, put on my little icy hot patch, and I'll go sneak around for a little bit. But for the most part, story's just happening.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Delta comes out. We'll see if it's any good. We'll see if it changes my mind on Big Boss. But at this point, it's still a Big Boss hater. I'm sorry.
3 is really good.
I would like to get through the Master Collection. I got through 1 and most of 2. And so I'm just about to 3, basically. I'm right at the tail end of 2. So I'm going to be replaying it, at least the original, soon on the Master Collection. So we'll see.
I keep thinking about whipping out the Vita to play them, dude. It's every so often.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got because I forgot the HD Collection came out on the Vita there. So, yeah. And you got the Vita OLED, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Crispy.
Man, so good. All right. Let's move on to this last news story. This last news story comes from Cat Bailey again.
She's on a roll.
On a roll over there. Hideo Kojima compares OD to Boktai. Says it will be just as different. What is OD? We don't know much, save that it's being made in collaboration with Jordan Peele, and that it will feature a lot of familiar Hollywood celebs screaming silently into the screen, probably. Predictably, creator Hideo Kojima is calling it a game, a movie, and a new form of media. He's also comparing it to Boktai, The Sun Is in Your Hands, a cult favorite series on Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS that was a big departure at the time for Kojima, who's best known for his work on Metal Gear Solid. Here's a tweet of his.
It's his Hi-Fi Rush.
It seems I have been acknowledged by creating games that go against the current of the time, such as hide-and-seek games where you sneak into a building without being detected by the enemy, or delivery games where you enjoy moving around in an open world. For me, the most experimental game was defeating vampires outside your house using actual sunlight around you. It was met with fierce opposition from the staff and even within the company. In that sense, OD is just as different. In Boktai, you play a vampire hunter named Django, who battles the undead with the help of a solar gun powered by real-life sunlight. The cartridge famously included a solar sensor that charged up the in-game weapons needed to defeat Boktai's vampires. Writing on Twitter, Kojima recalled the fierce opposition he received when he first pitched Boktai. It seems I have been acknowledged by creating games that go against the current of the times. I already read the tweet, but so in that sense, OD is different. It's just one more teaser for OD, which remains as mysterious as Death Stranding when it was first revealed. Peele, meanwhile, has claimed that OD will be immersive and utterly terrifying. We don't know how much else about OD, save that it's being developed on Unreal Engine 5 and that it will feature Sophia Lillis, Hunter Schafer, and Udo Kier. It will apparently explore the concept of testing your fear threshold. As for Boktai, the series hasn't been seen since 2007, but it did manage to get 2 sequels on GBA and DS, released titled Lunar Nights. The final game notably dropped the sun sensor that made the original so unique. By the way, that was a Kojima corner. I forgot to say that at the top. So okay. There you go. I had to get that in there somewhere. not much more to that other than I'd only heard of this Boktai game maybe like a year or so ago. You mentioned it one time, but you've played it. Is that right?
Yeah, I've played 1. A friend let me borrow it back in the day over a summer vacation. I freaking love that game. And I have Lunar Nights, which is part three, but it's not called Boktai in a sense. It's like a spiritual successor type of deal.
Okay.
So it's a trilogy in essence. Never got around to playing two. And I imagine that either of those games are very expensive these days, as are most Game Boy Advance games. But if I ever come across a little extra cash, I might just think about it, you know. But I love that he compared it to Boktai, because Boktai really is like his most it's like when Tango Gameworks did Hi-Fi Rush and everybody's like, wait a minute, you made the Evil Within 1 and 2 and now you made something that's a literal 180 from your bread and butter. So if Kojima is doing that and talking about it as he talked about Boktai, then this is going to be something completely, completely different. And I'm all here for it.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited for OD. I mean, I've already talked about it a ton, but I just can't stop watching a trailer. I've watched so many breakdowns of the trailer we got. I keep watching the interview with him and Jordan Peele. Like, man, I am so excited for this game. I mean, you guys all know I'm a sucker for horror. I love like horror games, horror movies, stuff like that. So knowing that Kojima is making another horror game with incredibly, again, I've been watching a lot of breakdown videos, so many references in OD so far to PT. There are so many references to PT in OD, and maybe it's, who knows, maybe the end product, none of that stuff will even be in the game. It was all just fan servicey stuff to get people riled up, but it's like the door, certain sound effects, different, I don't know, there's a whole list of things that it's like, oh my gosh, like to the point where people are like, could he actually just be working on like a Silent Hill game or PT or something like that with Jordan Peele, basically? Like, there's been people who have been talking about that, but it's like, oh shoot, imagine.
Like somehow he pieced it up with Konami enough to get the name PT back.
Yeah, maybe he's like, maybe there's a deal like, hey, like I get, you know, Jordan Peele involved, you know, this is someone who's not necessarily trusted in games, but trusted in the horror sphere. And maybe they made an agreement like, okay, yeah, you get, you, if you can convince Jordan Peele to join you, we'll give you another chance. And he did it somehow. Oh man, I don't know. Either way, it's, I'm so excited for this. I am bummed it's going to be Xbox exclusive, but at least I have a PC. I'll be able to enjoy it on PC.
I was going to say, you have a PC, you're fine.
Although I might need to upgrade my graphics card soon. I saw the new announcement today from NVIDIA. So apparently you're planning on overpowering me soon.
I'm having getting that 4070 super, baby.
Dude, I want to upgrade so bad, but I was looking at it. This is off topic, no longer Kojima corner. I was like, oh shoot, yeah, that'd be awesome. What if I upgrade my GPU? The problem is I would need to pretty much, to not have a huge bottleneck performance wise on my computer, I'd have to upgrade my CPU. In order to upgrade my CPU, I'd have to upgrade my motherboard. And when I upgrade my motherboard, I'd have to switch to DDR5 RAM. So I'd have to get new RAM. And I'm like, at that point,
you need a new power supply to run all this stuff.
No, I have a beefy power supply, right? I have a big 1,000-watt one. It's way overpowered. Okay.
You need to buy a new PC.
But yeah, I need to buy a new motherboard, new CPU, new RAM, just to support the graphics card. I'm like, not this year. I had to spend like $1,800 on PC parts to make that work. I'm like, yeah, probably not.
You know what? Maybe I could find a cheap 3070 or 3080.
Well, even the 40 series, just don't get the super. Just get like a normal 4070 or something like that. Because I'm sure once the supers come out, like the regular 4070s and 4080s or whatever will drop in price. Like,
yeah, I don't play anything but indie games anyway, so
yeah, right,
that's overkill. I mean, this, the 2070 I have is overkill for indies, but
yeah, the 2070 super, yeah,
right,
totally. All right, well, that is it for the news this week. Thank you all so much for hanging with us during that. We're going to jump over to our new segment, Kojima's Card Game Corner. He sent in a little video for this week's news. Last week, he got the introduction. And just to kind of fill you guys in a little bit more about that, because I talked about it a little bit last week, just a reminder. Kajoma01, one of our Patreon producers, pitched a segment. He's doing this cool little show during our show. The idea is to kind of premiere on our show for a few weeks, so maybe like for a month or two. You'll be able to find it here. Eventually, though, it will just become, it'll be on our social media. You'll be able to find it on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Shorts, Reels, everywhere. But we really just wanted to blast it out there so you guys could kind of get a taste of it and see if you like it. And if you do, make sure to follow us on social media, so in the future when it converts over there, you'll be able to find it. So without further ado, this week we got an actual episode, not just an introduction. So enjoy. Hopefully this works.
Hello and welcome to Kajoma's Card Game Corner, your source for TCG news. This week in Magic was the lead up to Ravnica Remastered's release this Friday, January 12th. Get ready to revisit old favorites from across every Ravnican set. This week in Marvel Snap, we saw the release of our new season, Planet Hulk. This week also brought along with it our new season pass card, Scar, a 6/11 that costs 2 less for each 10 plus power card you have, and Kyra, a 3/4 ongoing that protects your 1 and 6 cost cards. Both these cards are very strong. I'd highly recommend picking them up if you have the chance. Next week in Snap, we're going to be seeing the release of Hercules, a 4/6 that says the first time another card moves here each turn, move it to another location. He'll be in the spotlight cache alongside Werewolf by Night and Howard the Duck. However, I would wait to see how strong Hercules is before using any of your keys this week. That's all our news for this week. Thank you so much for watching, and be sure to tune in next time for more TCG news.
All right, we're back. I love the artwork on Marvel Snap. It's so cool. Like, they just have the different variants. They have like the comic book versions of things. They got like pixel art versions. They got like 3D versions. Like, I don't know. I wish that was a game I could get into, but I just don't have the time to get into it.
I just feel like so much has passed since I initially, because I got it when it launched, and yeah, I haven't played it since, and I'm like, there's probably been seasons that have come and gone. There's new rules, new game modes, and I'm too far behind at this point.
Yeah. Apparently they had a feature that he was telling me about a couple weeks ago where because my biggest thing is like, I want to play, but I'm bad at building decks. I don't have the time to do a research on how to build a deck. Just build a dang deck for me. And I think it was just like a few weeks ago, they added a new big update for the new year. They have an auto build feature now that like optimizes a deck. And he tested it. He's like, it actually builds good decks. Because a lot of times it just like slaps a bunch of stuff together and it's like, oh, this actually isn't a good deck. But he was like, yeah, you just pick the card that you want to use, like, oh, I really want to use this whatever card.
The Hulk card,
Green Goblin, whatever. And then you just click optimize deck or create deck and it builds a deck around it. And he said it was actually pretty good. So I'm like, all right, well, that solves one of my problems. The other one is just time. Can you find me more time, Kajoma?
He's like, don't worry, I got it right here.
Like, whoa, why have you been hiding that from me, dude? Holding out. All right. Well, with that, thank you. Thank you so much, Kajoma, for that little segment. We appreciate it. But now it's time for our Patreon ad. This is the part of the show where I tell you to go over to patreon.com/supergamerboys. That's right. Support us over there starting at just $1 a month. One whole dollar gets you episodes early and ad-free all month long from this show, as well as exclusive access to Super Later Boys, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a new episode that we're going to be recording this week, coming out this month. And I think next week we're recording another episode to come out in February. So, yeah, you're going to start getting some of that Patreon-exclusive content. Only get it over there starting at just $1 a month. You can see everything early and ad free. You can enjoy it. You also don't have to listen to me ramble here if you're watching this live or later on podcast apps on Wednesdays. So $5 a month, you can get previous perks and the show notes of the show. So on Sunday afternoons, I put together the show notes with what we're going to be talking about on the Monday night recording. If you want to know what news stories we're going to talk about, the questions of the show, if you want to talk about what you're playing, basically you have access to not only see it, but you can leave comments on that doc. So you can leave your own questions, comments, concerns. If you had thoughts about the Switch 2 announcements, or if you wanted to give more insight on how to watch Lord of the Rings chronologically, think about supporting us at the $5 a month level. You can leave your own thoughts. Tell us what you've been playing during the What You Playing segment. We could read off, hey, so-and-so has been playing this game and they've been really enjoying it. This is what they think. think about supporting us over there. We'd appreciate it. $10 a month, you get a shout out at the top of the show, as well as all those previous perks. And then the top dog tier, you can be a Patreon producer, just like Kajoma and Bumple Smash over there. You can support us and not only get all those previous perks, but have access to pitch us segments for the show. If you have a cool idea that you'd like to give a shot, we'll give it a shot. We'll kind of give it a try. You know, we'll give everything the old college try. I say that hesitantly because we've had things go bad in the past. Let's just put it that way. Kajoma, this isn't his first rodeo. This one's been a much better segment. Thank you, Kajoma, for making a better segment that didn't give JJ a platform to say just horrible things on the air. If you want to know what we're talking about, look back and try to find a segment called Tall Tales of JJ. I don't even know what episodes it ran for. It didn't run long. It very quickly devolved into madness. So think about... so if you want to support us at that $15 month tier, though, hey, pitch a segment. We'll give it a shot. Things go south, we're done with it. And if not, hey, it could become a solid part of the show. Just like, I mean, Adrian used to be a Patreon producer and he pitched Super Indie Boys. He used to do that. And then now he's on the show and he's even done Super Indie Boys through the YouTube. So think about supporting us there. We'd appreciate it. All of that money goes towards helping support the channel on back end stuff, buying equipment if we need, buying games if we need. Very much necessary and very much appreciated. So thank you to all who do support us over there. And if you want to be cool just like those folks, head over to patreon.com/supergameboys. And then last but not least, I wanted to shout out our Twitch channel. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link that to your Twitch account and use your Prime Gaming sub each and every month. You have to remember to re-up it every month because it doesn't do it automatically. But if you have that sub just laying around, burning a hole in your pocket, think about throwing it our way over at twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys. We'd appreciate it very much. We cost you $0. You take $5 out of Jeff Bezos' pocket, slip it in ours. We very much appreciate it. And then you also have access to our emotes all across Twitch. So think about supporting us there. Show some love to the channel. That way we can keep making cool things for you guys. All right. Without further ado, let's get back to the show. All right, Adrian, it's that time of the show where I am supposed to ask you this very important question. But first, I just need to read the chat. Blue Crimson 117 says, I miss the JJW ads, LOL.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a classic bit.
That was something, all right. That was a thing. That was a thing he did. Oh, man.
I mean, he did pretty accurately describe W. I just, you know.
Yeah, did he?
Close enough.
Close enough. All right, Adrian, I guess I can ask you now, what you playing?
For those who don't know, I am going to be spending a lot more time with my 3DS this year. It's not a resolution. I'm going to try my best to be as consistent as I can with it. Of course, things are going to happen throughout the year. You know, there's going to be days where I just... I'm not going to be able to. Who knows what. But I guess I should say what it is. So I'm going to try as many days as I can this year to play Animal Crossing New Leaf. So I started on January 1st. I started a new village. Or I became mayor of a new village. And I'm going to play every day throughout the year. Some days I might post. Some days I might forget. But I'm making an effort to at least visit the town and do a couple things here and there. And I've been tweeting my progress on Twitter, as things have gone along. Today is day 7, so it makes the first week, so I still need to post what I've done today. But that's my big thing, so you'll probably hear about that every week as part of it. As part of what I've been playing, so I would just say get used to that for this year. Alongside that, I have been playing another game that passed me by in the DS generation, but got a re-release and remake on the 3DS. And that is an RPG called Radiant Historia. Apparently it is, it's an RPG made by it's Atlas.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be heavily inspired by Chrono Trigger, because it also deals with time travel in its own way, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. I just started it recently, so I haven't really dug my teeth into it too much yet, but I'm really liking what I've played so far, and it's surprisingly, it's fully voiced for, oh, wow, for a 3DS game. That's
impressive.
Yeah, impressive. That's pretty rare. Very few games have done that, but I really like the art style. I did a little bit of the combat, and it seems pretty interesting. It looks like there's going to be a lot more to it, and that is really the extent of it. I'll have more to talk about next week, I'm sure, when I get to dig into it a little more. But overall, yeah, that's kind of what I've been playing this past week.
Nice. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been playing much more other than Dread. That's just, I'm loving that game so much. I mean, I said, what was that, last week, 2 weeks ago, that was my game of the year for 2023. Like, it was so dang good. It's still so good. I'm still loving the crap out of it. Life's been really busy. Life does not slow down when you have...
You don't have to tell me.
Life does not slow down when you have two kids under... well, one's 6 and one's 3. So it's very high energy. And
it don't slow down when you don't.
That's true. That's very true. I just got to a new area. I guess one thing I want to talk about with that game that I feel like I didn't really touch on before. It's open world. And it's very much open world in the vein of like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, where right from the start, you can go any direction you want. You could finish the game any way you want. Like, they're not like, oh, first you go. Like, if you're really strict about following the dialogue, then it leads you a certain way. Like, okay, first you do the middle area, and then you move over to the bottom right, and then you go to the bottom left, and then you go to the top left, and the top, you know, kind of takes you in a circle around the world. But if you didn't, like, sit there and go through a bunch of dialogue and, I don't know, just... rely on what the people say, because even if the people tell you to do things, you can do opposite, do different things if you want. You could be like, oh yep, I'm just gonna go straight to the northeast corner, and right off the bat, as soon as you start the game and start doing stuff up there, it might be extremely difficult. You're gonna have a hard time, but again, just like Breath of the Wild, like, you can do the game in kind of any order you want, to a certain extent. There's gonna be some things that are like, all right, you can't do X without this certain piece of equipment, but I don't know, for the most part, you really can do a lot of things, or at least explore the world. Like, even if you can't finish a main objective, you can kind of get a couple steps in, and then get a head start on collecting some of like the different, like filling out the encyclopedia with the types of fish and stuff like that, the aberrations, the like the mutations and stuff like that. So I don't know, it just kind of hit me when I was playing recently. I'm like, oh, this, I didn't even think of this. Like, I've been playing it very much just following the story, because that's just what I am. I'm a completionist, so I'm going through every dialogue and, you know, talking to every person and all this stuff. But right, I was like, if someone wanted to, they could just fire it up and beat this game any way they want. So I don't know. That's just really cool to me. I usually, that's not necessarily a selling point for me, but I was like, oh, I realized I don't know how much I even mentioned that this is an open world game. Beat it as you may, like however you want, you know, to your heart's content, which is really cool. So still loving it, still love the aesthetic. I just love like the dark, creepy vibes you get from things, even when it's not like in your face creepiness. It's just kind of like, oh, there's something off about this person I'm interacting with, and then like finding out later, like, oh yeah, they're like totally like just possessed by something, or like crazy weird, like, oh, he's just a little off his rocker, like all sorts of weird stuff going on. So again, mostly due to like these mutations with the fish, which are still haven't really found out what's causing it. Some sort of like dark supernatural stuff going on. So cool story, cool world. Mm-hmm. Still recommend everyone go get it. Please go get this game. Go play. So good. All right, that's all I got for this week. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you for coming back week after week, for hanging out Monday nights on the stream over at youtube.com/supergamerboys and twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys. Thank you guys for chatting. Tonight we had Blue Crimson in the chat. Shout out to Blue Crimson. Shout out to Trouser Schnauzer, DJ Trues. DJ Trues for the Raid, even coming in here. So if you like his music, go check out his streams. And if you like his streams, check out his music. Links to his music are going to be in the show description. Make sure to find that. But if you love what we do, if you love our content, if you love anything we've ever put out, want to help us keep making more cool stuff. Like we talked about last week, we got some big plans for this year, and money is helpful for those plans. Let me tell you. I've been looking at some things. I'm like, ooh, that costs money. That costs money. Oh, that's we could do it free, but it could be even cooler if we paid a little money, like stuff like that. Been going through kind of the idea, Rolodex, and just to keep the things up and running. Let me tell you, it's not cheap to have a website. Patreon.com/SuperGamerBoys. We appreciate you guys who already support us over there and would love to see more folks join the team. Also, you can support us over at sgbstore.com. Buy some merch. We got hoodies, we got stickers, we got a hat that I reported on last week that I created last week, and I ordered it on the show while we were recording. Okay. I have not received it yet, but I will report back when I know the quality of the hat. I know usually we do quality checks before we put it live, but last week I'm like, oh, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? It's a hat with our name stitched on it. So we'll see. If it's an absolute mess, then, well, you'll see it here first. I'll wear it on the show and you can see the disaster. Or it could be super sick and we keep it up there and you guys can go get your own dad hat. So, I mean, you can get your own dad hat now, but I would probably say hold off until we know for sure how it looks. How about that?
Just in case.
It's weird. Like, I mean, like we talked about last week, sometimes spring has like, whoa, yeah, this is awesome quality and looks good and feels good. And other times like, woof, what is this? So like I said, we like to quality check our things first. You don't normally, everything up there is good quality. The dad hat question mark still, but coming soon, I'll let you know. I'll give you the review, my own review. Speaking of reviews, you can review us over on iTunes. Head over there and leave some stars for us, 5 stars preferably. That'd be great. We haven't gotten a review since like 2022 or something like that, 2021. I don't know. I was looking the other day. We haven't gotten a review in a long time over there. So if you're listening to us over on Apple Podcasts, or even if you're not, if you just have an Apple device, go over to find Super Gamer Boys on there and leave us a 5-star review. That'd be awesome, because when iTunes sees a bunch of good reviews come in, they tend to bump you up and showcase you. So that would be awesome if you could go over there and do that for us. You can find us during the week at supergamerboys.com, Twitter and Instagram at supergamerboys. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at gmorlang. Adrian, where can the fine folks find you at?
You can find me any and everywhere at homeboy.
All right. There you go. Follow us. Find us. Buy us. Go do the things. Go
Hold on. I didn't sign up for that.
Maybe.
No.
Unless.
No, no.
No, wait. What if someone bought us for like $2 billion? Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, I thought you meant buy us as people, not as a corporation.
No, definitely not. I'm not for that at all.
Okay.
That is not okay.
I'm like, man, you are on a roll today.
Nope. That is not what I was going for, Adrian. I was talking about Super Gamer Boys as a company.
Okay, yeah. No, please buy Super Gamer Boys. Yeah, I would love to retire.
Jeez, are you kidding? Adrian, are you kidding?
Now, look, the first one you walked into, okay?
Yes.
The rope one you walked into, this one was clearly, it could have been a misunderstanding, okay?
Yeah.
When you said bias, that's what I thought. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, I was referring to, I mean, it refers to a lot of things. I was referring to Patreon, like paying us, or SGB store, buying
right,
a merch.
I know. And then
there's a lot of things.
It
and you
took
really
me a
had
second.
To,
I
you
got
really
there.
Twist
I
my
got
words
there.
There. The thing is, people are going to clip this out and now they're going to be like, hey, Garrett's a racist and believes slavery is good. And I'm going to be like, oh no, this is not the message. Never has been the message.
Brother,
please
come
don't.
On, man. I wouldn't be here if I believed that about you. Come on. Give me some credit.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the people on the internet. That's all.
I'm not worried about the people on the internet. Unless they're friends of ours or people who support us. But anyway, like always, thank you for hanging out with us for another week of Super Gamer Boys goodness. We appreciate everybody who is hanging out. I'm trying to think of what to say. Clips have been going crazy lately. clips and views and whatnot. They're going off the charts. So we hope that continues to go up. And don't forget to tell anybody you know, your you know, grocer who bags your groceries, your rabbi, anybody you think that would be interested in a video game podcast where the two hosts are pretty neat, tell them. And with that, we will see you again soon. We are the Super Gamer Boys.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
So, wait a minute. You really don't see how bias was like... Maybe that's just... I don't know.
Context.
I should have took into context. You're right.